I'm sure you know Rebel Radio is sponsored by Finn. We're really happy to have them as a partner. I'm heading off to Italy next month, a little bit of work and a little bit of holiday with family, and I got Finn doing research for me on things to do, travel arrangements, rental cars, trains, all that stuff. Basically, I use Finn to do everything I don't need to do myself, but I still need to get done. You can use them to book appointments, make calls, pay bills. Finn learns your preferences. You can save your passwords with them, all of that stuff. And it saves me hours and hours every week. I'm finding it really useful. I think you will too. What I love most about it is you can access the mobile app, email, website. You can call them. Whatever works best for you works best for Finn. They work around you. Just because you listen to Rebel Radio, I'm going to hook you up with a free trial. Go to finn.com/rebel to try Finn for free. That's finn.com/rebel, and you can try it out for free. I'd love to hear what you think of it, how you're using it. Leave us a comment or shoot me a note, and just tell me what Finn's doing for you. That's finn.com/rebel.
I'm Corey Stout, captain of woodies.com, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I talk to the Rebels that are shaping youth culture. We find out how they do it, why they do it, and what you can do to get a little piece of the pie for yourself. We're also the only show to bring you new music every week from our friends over at EDM.com. I'm your host, Josh Levine, and my guest today is Corey Stout. Corey's the founder of Woody's Sunglasses, and he's built a really interesting business to suit his lifestyle. He's got no office, no full-time employees. He's kind of based his whole model off of what he read in the 4-Hour Work Week, and it's allows him to travel whenever he wants and just really create a unique work situation for himself and everybody that's on his team. It's a great story of how he's built that business coming up right after our EDM.com track of the week. Tim Shaffert and Cash for Gold with Awake, the EDM.com track of the week. If you like that one, get over to EDM.com for more new music. And now let's get into the interview with Corey Stout. Excellent. Well, right on, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Appreciate you making time.
Freaking happy to be here.
Totally. So I'm excited to learn about you and Woody's. I heard about you from Sonia, our mutual mm-hmm. friend, and she just told me, you got to meet this guy, Corey. He's he has this sunglass business with no employees, and you travel right. all the time, which just sounds amazing.
Right.
So I'm excited to learn how you're doing that.
For sure.
But let's talk about how you got started. Were you always into fashion? Were you always going to be an entrepreneur? Was that...
I was going to be an entrepreneur one way or another, yeah. I think. And back in college, I was selling tickets. That was kind of my first intro to sales, which I think is the...
Like concert tickets.
Yeah, it was a football game tickets.
Oh, cool.
Back, University of Florida.
Uh-huh.
And like I was on the street scalping with the best of them.
You know?
Who needs two tickets?
Yeah.
Who's selling tickets?
Yeah.
And then I graduated, got lucky because it was the Great Recession, so there's no job. So I had I had to figure it out. Otherwise, I might have just easily fallen into something that was paying okay.
Sure.
But moved to Austin after college. Did something for a year to get by. I don't really know what.
Mm-hmm.
And then my best friend from college was living in China. And he's teaching English over there. And he's like, you got to come out here and see what it's all about.
Nice. So
went out to China, 6 weeks staying in Guangzhou. And I was just like, whoa, this is different. Something different's going on here.
Did you do like a teaching thing out there?
I was just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Walking around, looking around,
exploring,
going out, partying, whatever.
Sure.
And then I started to see how it all worked. Like, oh, here's all the people that make stuff. Here's how they get it to the States. Here's who's doing what.
So go back to selling tickets. I think that's, I think that's such a great place to start.
Yeah.
And we do marketing for brands. And I always feel like everybody should have that experience of being out promoting face to face, having conversations with people.
Yeah.
What do you think you learned from that you use now?
So rejection, acceptance, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So ticket selling in particular was standing in one place on a street, holding tickets up in the air as hundreds of people walk by you and you say, who needs two tickets?
Yeah.
No. Do you want two tickets? No. Do you want these tickets? How much are they? $100. No. So just, I don't know, what's the percentage of no's I'm willing to hear? Hundreds.
Yeah.
But then eventually enough people say, okay, yeah, I need those tickets. And then the sale gets done. So that process really got me over fear of no, fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Fear of asking, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, they could say no. Does that harm me in any way? No. So keep moving. That's kind of what I got out of that.
That's big.
Yeah.
Where'd the idea for Woody's come from?
Woody's was, all right, so I'm in China. I started a watch company called Ticker. And I started selling online back in 2012. And Shopify was just kind of getting going. And what was working for me was Groupon.
Mm.
I was one of the first products to ever get on Groupon.
Mm.
So we're selling these watches. Turns out they were crappy watches, so it didn't last that long.
Right.
So once that kind of flamed out, my friends that were still living in China, they're like, hey, we found this wood sunglasses. We didn't know. This is the first we've ever heard of this. No one else is doing this.
Yeah.
Corey, could you start a brand around this, get us a website, and get us on Groupon? So the first three partners in Woody's was my friends still living in China, me, and a guy that worked for Groupon. He insisted that he would be part of the equity of the company if he's going to get us this great big deal on Groupon.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how Woody's started, that we got a promise that we were going to get on Groupon, and we knew we would sell 8,000 or so glasses to launch, and that was enough to get us by.
Yeah. So that was, was there more to the vision than that, or was it just like a spur of the moment?
I mean, that was like the, here's the idea, we're going to go with it. Now let's find some inspiration.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, wood sunglasses, sunglasses, you want to be by the beach. And I thought of the Woody, the great American classic sedan, the Woody. So I found a guy who was renting one in Miami, and I'm like, okay, I can do a photo shoot around this.
Yeah.
This will be the brand. We'll call it Woody's. It's going to be like a 50s Americana vintage vibe. And then that was just the core idea. And then really built on that a lot over the years. But that was kind of how it struck, inspiration didn't strike. I kind of went looking for it.
Sure.
And then found something that I liked.
Yeah. So at that point, were you already kind of resigned to the idea that you were going to be an entrepreneur, or was it like...
Yeah, because I made a lot of money on that first Ticker watches thing, but it was this big up and then down.
Right.
So it was like, I saw how good it could be, and then I saw what I did what became its demise.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Which was what?
Which was quality control for the product and ambivalence to customer support.
Mm.
Because I'm so busy trying to sell, like create this business, create this brand, and people are like, oh, I had this watch for a year and it broke. And send me, and it was just like, I don't know, that I was just so forward focused that I wasn't thinking about customers, right. Which is crazy. So yeah. Luckily on Woody's, my mom took over customer service.
Amazing.
And she cares so much.
Yeah.
So that really made a difference.
Yeah. And so was the thought, like, I'm going to build this big company, we're going to be the next, you know, Ray-Ban or whatever, or... like at what point, I guess what I'm wondering is, like, what was it that led you to this, to the vision for what you've ended up building?
For the vision of like what Woody's is, or like what my lifestyle plus Woody's would be?
Yeah, maybe that.
Okay. So even when I was running that watch company, I was traveling. I was just knew I loved traveling. I'm comfortable with traveling, and you just get so much when you're traveling. You're out on the road visiting people. I mean, look what happened on the trip to China. It changed the course of the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I'd read 4-Hour Work Week when it came out, mm-hmm. and its lessons aren't as true today as it was back then, but it like set this framework for like, oh, here's how you could really build a business, automate it, travel and continue to run it, and then get as successful as it could be. So
why do you say it's not as true today?
Because like some of the tactics back then were like, using Google AdWords,
right.
And it didn't see social media coming.
Right.
It didn't really see blogging coming, mm-hmm. YouTubers, any of that stuff. So some of the stuff was, it didn't guess everything right, but the framework was there.
Yeah.
So Woody started growing. I had it under all my control because the bought out the partners eventually, so it was 100% for me. And then it started getting more successful, and I could have gotten an office space and hired people and started doing that whole thing, but I wanted to travel.
Yeah.
So it kind of became this game, like, how big could I build this thing while hiring no one?
Mm-hmm.
Like every software that I would come across, I'm like, okay, give me the 30-day trial. I'm trying this out. And so eventually I had 50, 60 software subscriptions that were running the business in the background. I was happy enough to do that and not have to hire anyone.
I've seen that like online, there's some lists of like all the tools that you use and all the services. Is that, I don't know, is that giving away your secrets? Is that a good idea? Does it not matter either way?
I've been sharing a lot of stuff online and I wonder that, but whoever's second place selling wood sunglasses in America is like getting further.
Right.
So I don't think it matters.
Sure.
And I get to share these tools and this information with people. Enough people shared information with me along the way. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to do that.
Totally.
Yeah.
So how does it work? I mean, I get the subscriptions. I think every business now has a ton of subscriptions and software and, you know, different tools that they use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old days of like companies building their own proprietary thing, that's kind of over, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of over. So everyone does that, but but you take it further.
Hmm.
Or maybe not, but you know.
So,
but like, you know, a big sunglass company probably has a lot of the same, uses a lot of the same tools that you use, but they also have 300 people coming to work every day.
What are they all doing? I'd like somebody to tell me at some point what they're all doing, right? I mean, there's stuff that I think companies spend time, money, and employees on that I just don't.
Give me an example.
Probably like financial forecasting, inventory forecasting. I mean, I kind of set up some simple rules in a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I have a bookkeeper who I pay, but he's not part of the company. So
mm-hmm.
in a way, I have the same manpower that they all have, just none of them are my employees. So everyone's a contract.
Yeah.
It's like using the gig economy.
Yeah.
or something like that.
So when I talk to business owners, like maybe more old school kind of thinkers,
yeah,
there's this bias that like we can outsource certain things, but our really important people we need in house that they somehow have more control over people if they are employees and sitting in the office every day.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've come across that. Either if you've wrestled with that in yourself or if you've heard that out there, like how do you reconcile that?
Just as a broader trend, like when you think about where the sharing economy is taking our society with Airbnb, Uber, all these things, ownership is overrated.
Yeah.
So like ownership over an employee. Yeah, I can tell them what to do at any time. As long as I'm paying them the right amount of money.
Sure.
Theoretically, they'll do it. And they'll do it to the best of their ability if you get really good employees, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't need total control and total ownership over anybody's skill set. I just need to borrow it for some time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. So that's kind of my... The total ownership over someone's skill set. That doesn't appeal to me, or I don't see the need for it. So anybody that's really, really feels that way, I don't know why they feel that way.
I don't know. I think it's a little bit of what we were talking about earlier, that list, like, that's the way things have been, so that's the way they continue. Like,
inertia? I don't know. What do you call that?
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I
think so.
I mean, ask myself why continually, right? Like, you want to check yourself to make sure that beliefs you hold are still valid.
Sure.
And you need to...
like, you know, if you go to business school, like, they're going to teach you about building, you know, teams, managing people, you know, your staffing plan, like any traditional business plan has a whole staffing plan as part of it, right? Like,
yeah.
I just think those are ingrained into people's thoughts about what a business is.
And I had those same thoughts, like, am I doing this wrong by not hiring people? But I just maybe.
So when you have that thought,
yeah,
what do you do?
Well, luckily I'm kind of lazy, so when something comes up that like I probably should do, I'll just like push it off a little bit.
Okay.
Only when it's like the buzzers are going off, like Corey, you have to do this right now, or something's gonna explode, then I do it.
Yeah.
So maybe that, you know, I don't meddle. I don't try to tinker with stuff that's working, so maybe that kind of worked to my favor when it came to decisions to hire. Like I probably would have hired some people, but it seems like a lot of work. You gotta like put an ad out there, you gotta interview people,
and then you gotta manage them.
You gotta manage them,
right?
I had like some virtual assistants along the way, and just coming up with things for them to do was like as much of a task as my own things I gotta do. So never really went that route.
I think it's also when people label themselves as boss or an owner or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think in people's minds, that comes with certain things you do and certain things you don't do.
Right.
Right. And so taking out the trash or whatever.
Right.
Is not okay with some people if it's their, you know, if they're at a certain level or they perceive themselves a certain way.
Yeah. And I don't mind doing all the data entry or updating or whatever stuff I have to do. I mean, I probably outsource some of that stuff, just not to an employee.
Sure.
To a software, whatever I can find.
Is there one part of the business that's hardest because of the way that it's structured?
Probably be more in the creative section, like marketing and social media management, because that's the way the business is now. It's really run on Amazon, so I don't have the same needs for a company that might do a lot of stuff on Facebook, right? Like coming up with videos, doing photo shoots, coming up with.
So you don't, you guys don't do that
new
at all.
Content. We're really not that much into content.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be hesitant to say that my model is like, it's like should be the new textbook, but it's like, you find what works and you go with it, right? So Amazon really, really worked for us. It's really working for a lot of people right now. seems like a lot of people still fight it, that they want to have their own thing going, even though Amazon's running wild. But the Amazon thing was so appealing because fulfillment by Amazon.
Right.
That was the major key, because you then you can travel. Then you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Don't even need an office. You just need the laptop.
Yeah. How do you did you have to kind of train yourself to work and travel and do that together? Like, I think when most people travel, they're either, you know, like vacation, or they're there for work, and then you're at a conference or meetings or whatever, and it's like, you know, again, just sort of the way most people think is just kind of this either-or mentality.
Let me find this quote. Let me find this really awesome quote. It's like a... Okay, so on the topic of, like when I'm traveling, how do you really balance the work and the travel?
Yeah.
So came across this quote. The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide if he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both. So that's a really lofty version of what I see myself as. But the thing, like, I really like building a business and working. It's like a little game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I make this number go up and to the right?
Yeah.
And so I would, even if I'm traveling somewhere really cool, I'd still like to get in and work on whatever I'm working on.
True.
And then when I'm done, my idea of leisure isn't sit on the beach and watch the clouds go by. Like, I want to get out there and like ride some motorcycles or go sailing or something that probably is like hard work, but it's still fun.
Sure.
So that's kind of my balance.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that speaks to me, you know, and I think it's also like, you know, again, there's all this conversation now about work-life balance and this idea of like, it's kind of the opposite of what you're saying, right? Which is, it's like people, I think that's just a response to like the idea of being a workaholic, right? So then they're like, no, you need balance. You need to take time for yourself and all of that. And I think that's a good step in the right direction, except what really, you know, for me, I think the people that I look up to that are really seem to be successful and fulfilled are the ones for whom life and work are the same.
The same, yeah. And sometimes it's gone too far when you see somebody like with a laptop out by the pool.
Sure.
And you're like, hey man, you can't look at your screen. It's too much glare out there. Like, what are you taking a picture of this for?
Sure.
So like I like there's a time for work and a time, but yeah, you enjoy it all. It's all the part of the same life.
Yeah.
You can't split your life into two pieces.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So I've read something you said about that you're really good at saying no to stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's kind of part of your method.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What's something, you know, what stands out and what do you say no to that's hard to say no to?
Okay, so this book I read last year, Essentialism, did you come across that book?
No.
Okay, so the book itself violates its own title because it's really long and doesn't need to be that long. It says, in order to pursue what's truly essential, you not only have to eliminate the obvious time wasters, you also have to say no to some potentially good deals.
Right.
Which is hard to do. It takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
Because you could make some money.
Sure.
So with Woody's, I'm really focused on putting a lot of attention on Amazon, like I've said 100 times, I think. But the decision to not sell on Etsy, not sell on eBay, and not sell on Walmart, which I've had the chance to do.
Yeah.
That making that decision, I don't have a way of counting how many hours that saved, but sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make. And so keeping that singular focus on one marketplace, that was saying no. I used to sell in those marketplaces.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw how much my time was just chopped up. And so I just deleted my account for those.
Wow.
So that those were good deals. They were bringing in money.
Sure.
It wasn't moving the needle. It wasn't essential
mm-hmm.
money, but it was taking up enough time that it wasn't worth it. So.
So is there a process to that of like figuring out what's essential when you're faced with a decision like that?
Is there a process? I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm an economist. That's my degree.
Okay.
I like attaching rates to things.
Huh.
So dollars per hour.
Okay.
So I came up with a thing. What's my time worth? I came up with this a long time ago, and I put it at $30 an hour.
Okay.
And so I always have this example, because this was the first thing that happened where I used my little equation.
Yeah.
I had like a get into the gym free pass, and I left my house, which was 20 minutes away, and I got there, I forgot my pass. and it was $20 to get into the gym.
Right.
So am I going to return home
right.
to get it or just pay it? So like sure. I came up with this number, like here's how I'm going to make my decisions. So
that's funny.
When I do my math on something like Amazon, the number is like almost astronomical. The amount of actual work I do times the money that comes back in.
Really?
So if I compare that number to something on another platform or trying to get into wholesale,
right.
something that's incredibly time intensive
yeah.
and you don't make that much money on it. Things like that, I just said a big no to.
So, okay. So another like common business idea is about strategic planning, right? So
okay.
thinking what's around the corner, where is this, you know, how do we grow this business?
Yeah.
Which I think leads people to invest in things that aren't going to pay off,
mm-hmm.
aren't going to pay $30 an hour today with the hopes that they will
yeah.
in 18 months or something like that.
Right.
So is that part of what you do, or do you just kind of play the cards that are in front of you?
I guess it is easier for me to say now that I've already done it, right? Because you have to make that first decision.
Sure.
So, gosh, I came across a note the other day. I had my list of to-dos.
Yeah.
And number, like, 6 on my list was register for Amazon and start selling on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
It was such a low priority for me then.
Yeah.
So, right, how did I make that jump and get on there? Gosh. I don't know. At some point in the early stages, you can't be too smart. You mm-hmm. kind of have to be stupid and make some decisions that aren't obviously the best decision. But if you, I don't know what kind of decision making you'd apply to that. Amazon was just this like huge,
sure.
rolling downhill, huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too hard to bet on Amazon.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, I've heard people complain about the splits.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like the stock splits?
No, their fees and their how much of the full retail price you actually keep, right? I've heard people complain
right.
about that from Amazon.
Right.
But you know, betting on that Amazon's going to be like the place to build your business versus right. you know, Etsy or something like that, whose future may be less certain.
Right. So
it's probably pretty safe.
So I made the right decision back then, but like you should use something like your personal passion. Like what do you love doing? Like what feels like play to you, even though most people call it work?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you can do something like that, yeah, the numbers might not bear it out that, oh, you're more profitable by being
sure.
making this decision, but if you're fulfilled and you're enjoying it, it's got a good chance of turning into something.
Yeah.
I think. So yeah. that's what I'd
say. Okay. So I want to talk about something else you said. I think it's in your social.
Yeah.
I think it's on your Twitter. It says something like I create brands and build communities around them.
Yeah. Did I say that? Or did I quote?
Yeah.
I might have been quoting someone. I don't know.
I think it's in your Twitter profile.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're like in your bio.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like something 2012 me would say.
Okay. Fair enough. I know we're not always updating Twitter that frequently anymore.
Yeah. I create brands and build communities around them.
I think that's what it says.
I could see why I said that. I could see why I said that.
How do you, so, okay, well, let's pretend you said that.
Okay.
What does it mean to build a community? how do you do that, and what is it?
Yeah.
How do you, what does that look like?
The first step is you have to live the community that you're trying to attract.
Okay.
Right. So I embody the Woody's life that I'm trying to sell people on. You know, I've got classic cars. I live in Venice, hang out by the beach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm into that 50s aesthetic. That's
what,
really.
What classic cars?
I've got a 53 Mercury. That's a Woody wagon. Got a 64 Comet.
Nice.
55 T-Bird. 3 VW things. Uh-huh. And a bus, 62 bus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think I'm forgetting.
Nice. You're doing it.
That's all.
That's amazing.
That's my thing. That's my fun thing. Yeah. I'm starting a new business, sort of. It's Captain's Classic Cars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole captain persona kind of happened by accident.
Is that right?
So I'm just kind of rolling with it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So you got to
live
the lifestyle,
right?
Whatever that is.
There's a lot of people saying a lot of things on the internet that aren't
sure
really accurate. So
yeah.
I think when people see behind the scenes that you're really doing what you say you're doing.
If you're enjoying this one, let's hear another great entrepreneurial tale from my man Ryan Babenzian, founder of Greats Brand Sneakers. That was one of our early episodes in the Rebel Radio archives. You can find it on iTunes or SoundCloud. Ryan's got some great stories about building a new sneaker brand. Since we talked, that brand has really taken off. You'll see Greats Brand everywhere. Check that one out after you finish up here with Corey Stout. So modeling it, and then beyond that, is there something else to kind of bring in people along with you, or is it just like...
Did you say modeling?
Well, I guess that's what I was saying, is like... You're saying you model the community, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I thought you said modeling. Like, I tried to put myself in the photo shoot one time as a model, and it didn't go well. So okay. I was like, "Oh no, don't be your own model."
No, not that way.
Be the model citizen of your
right.
brand.
But exactly.
Don't think, yeah.
Right. And so then, is that it, or is there like more to bringing people along?
Yeah, I've got to give more credit to my mom for the community building for Woody's because she like. Baked the DNA into Woody's. And the,
how do you mean?
All the reviews you'll read online are just glowing reviews about how great she is.
Yeah.
And
she handles the customer service.
Oh, yeah, that captain guy looks like he's having a lot of fun, but we really appreciate Pam for like keeping everybody happy.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
I really got lucky with.
Yeah.
Got a great mom, and she cares a lot. She does what she has to do for Woody's.
How much, you know, Whenever I think of customer service, I think of Zappos.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Amazon has amazing customer service too, but you know, Zappos is really built on that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you follow or pay attention to them?
I took a lot from Zappos. I mean, they are just relentlessly awesome.
Yeah,
they're not. It's one thing to issue a refund or process a warranty claim. It's another one to to energetically do it, right?
Like sure.
enthusiastically.
Yeah.
Because, and I read Seth Godin a lot, and he talks about every opportunity you get to form a relationship, to build trust in this world. And so every time, the first business I had, every warranty claim I processed, I cringed because I saw it as money leaving out the door.
Yeah.
And now I'm lucky I have a lower price product that I can be generous with our warranty policy.
Yeah.
But now I really see every interaction where we do process or return as something that's going to come back down the future. Mm. And that's just being able to have a long-term view of your business. It like really changes every interaction. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at.
How do you think about competition?
Competition. So everyone listening, these glasses, it's not like you couldn't go on Alibaba and make them. There's certainly 100 other brands.
Like most products.
Yeah, like most products.
Yeah.
Anybody could do them. So competition, talk about Warren Buffett. He says build moats around your business. So on Amazon, I have thousands of reviews on certain products. I think that's my defensibility,
mm-hmm.
and then the brand I've created, whether by accident or what parts of it were intentional.
Yeah.
You know, people know Woody's, people recognize the captain's hat if they've been on the site.
Yeah.
And I guess that's my defensibility. There's nothing proprietary that I'm doing.
So in the fashion business especially, but you know, lifestyle products, right? We think there's an idea that the brand is an expression of who you are, of mm-hmm. the customer.
Okay.
Right? The what sunglasses I choose if I'm a Ray-Ban guy or a Prada guy or a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Or a Woody's guy, that says something about me.
Right.
And that I want to broadcast to the world, right? That's mm-hmm. sort of that's the prevailing thinking in branding.
For sure.
Do you find that are you seeing that as true with yeah. Woody's?
Yeah. Luckily, Woody's can really appeal to a wide range. I mean, anybody can find something to like
okay.
about Woody's.
Yeah.
At first, when I was doing Woody's, I thought the eco angle was the thing that people would really be obsessed about, and yeah. it's not.
No.
it's just not. Okay, plant 3 trees for it. I don't think anybody really cared.
Right.
So the thing I focused on was value.
Mm.
So how much, I just kind of set my price one time and I'm like, this is just going to be my price forever. So then I went about creating the best value I could at that price.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only is it sunglasses, it's a guitar pick, it's temporary tattoos, it's stickers, it's little motivational cards.
Oh, cool.
It's the service. Right. So that's kind of where that went. When I see people out in the world wearing Woody's, I just think they look freaking cool. So I think that's
yeah.
that's what people want. It's something, $25, you can't beat that, and then they look cool too.
Yeah.
A lot of Ray-Ban people are like, why am I still spending $175,
$200? Sure.
I mean.
Yeah. You talked about models, so I know you'd shot something with Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I read something about like that maybe that wasn't the best move for you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, 2 things. One, first of all, what did she do for your business? Like, what did having her in a campaign right. mean to the business?
Right.
And 2, what'd you learn?
Wow. All right, Kendall, I approached her at a time before influencers became a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
She was young, right?
She was young. She was 17. Yeah. Instagram was young. She only had 4 million followers. I don't know how many mm-hmm. hundreds she has now.
Right.
So I was able to, first of all, afford her after some lengthy negotiations to get her. But
yeah.
it didn't cause a spike. It didn't
really?
It didn't cause like a hockey stick by any means.
Okay.
And then it didn't really move the whole needle. That's why I've really been hesitant to do influencer marketing since then, but
yeah,
what I learned from was just like man, it's always fun to just go for it in business.
Mm-hmm.
Like hiring her was all the money I had. It was kind mm-hmm. of the biggest bet I ever made,
yeah.
and it ended up working out. But gosh, what was I doing back then? I hired Kendall Jenner to try to promote my Kickstarter campaign.
Uh-huh.
Like, just listen to that sentence. That's just not a recipe for success.
Sure.
So just. You gotta know what you're doing before you take a big swing like
so
that.
So if you were talking to some, you know, young entrepreneurs who are starting up
yeah.
new businesses,
yeah.
and they were like, oh, we know you did this Kendall Jenner thing, like, what do you teach us something about influencer marketing.
Yeah.
What would you advise them?
Be your own influencer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you create your own tribe.
Yeah.
You don't need to borrow someone else's influence. You know, build your own, and the people that they form your tribe are going to be, they're not going to care if Kendall Jenner or whoever
sure.
endorsed your product on a day.
Yeah.
Like they're going to see the authenticity of what you're doing and follow you for that reason. So mm-hmm. that's the Seth Godin thing that always stuck out of my mind. 10 true fans.
Yeah.
Can you really convince 10 people who are not your friends or family
yeah.
to give a crap about what you're doing? And if the answer is no, you got to focus on being more authentic until you can. Hiring an influencer is like, it's like burning tissue paper to start a fire. Like, it just it burns up and it's bright for a second, but then it's gone.
Yeah,
it's not gonna build a real fire.
Yeah. So where do you want to take Woody's? What's the goal?
Just want to keep living it. It finally grew out of my mom's garage, so I was shipping product to her garage and sending it into Amazon. And eventually we just got too big for that. So
yeah,
I want to just keep it going as far as I can handle it. I mean, it's getting bigger. I don't want to own it forever. I don't know what I want to do with it. I'm just going to kind of take it a little bit at a time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm my identity is really tied into it now. Sure. So it's hard to think about letting it go, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep doing it.
I think that's a really interesting challenge for people building businesses, like where you are so tied to the business, is like you have to be in it enough, but if you're in it too much,
then you can't untangle yourself from it.
Yeah, both directions. Like, the brand might not survive without you.
Right.
And you might, not that you won't survive, but you won't be the same without the brand.
Right.
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 It's an interesting challenge.
It is. And Woody's probably in the camp of, I'm too entangled. I don't know how I'm going to sell this thing because...
Well, so you talked about your mom being a big part of it.
Yeah. How are you going to replace her?
Right.
It's heart and soul.
Yeah. And you talked about she's much better at customer service than you.
Yeah.
What's your strength?
What's my strength? I know a little bit about everything. That's kind of my thing. I'm not an expert in any one field. So my strength is just, I want to say that there's something I'm doing that's so extra special, but I can't even give myself that much credit. I mean, really it is Amazon and that whole machine.
Yeah.
Like we kind of work for the machines.
Sure.
Don't we?
That
I position myself to the most favorably for getting more sales on Amazon. But I don't know what I'm really doing. I came up with the idea, so I kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, I got to ask you a little lightning round.
Okay.
But I want to talk about travel for a second, because I know that's a big part of of what you do.
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
How do you travel?
So 2016, I was named one of Airbnb's top 200 travelers, because I stayed almost 300 nights that year on Airbnb.
Yeah.
I also have the other...
What do you get for that?
Nothing. Yeah. An email saying, cool.
Right.
Cool, good for you.
Awesome.
Nothing. So my cousin Clint works for American Airlines, and I'm on his special list of flying.
That's
so that was before I could afford it.
Sure.
I had the standby flight stuff. So anybody that out there that knows someone works for an airlines, go buy them a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Get that going. Cause that'll help.
For sure.
That plus Airbnb, and then starting to make money with Woody's, being able to travel.
Yeah.
I sold my car, let go of my lease. So I had less than 100 possessions, and I was light as could be. So I wanted to travel and see the world.
Yeah.
And man, it's all out there. It's happening.
What's, travel is one of people's favorite things to complain about on social media, is it like the airlines or whatever?
Who's complaining about the airlines? Have you seen flights lately? They're so cheap.
It's great. I'm not one to complain.
Although
I will write to American when I see them doing something stupid.
But
I love they get me all over the world whenever I want to go.
It's amazing.
Pretty affordably. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What a world.
Give me some travel hacks.
Travel hacks, man. From the 4-hour work week,
the
amount you enjoy your trip is directly proportional to how light your pack is. Like, it's just, I can't believe how consistently you can plot that.
Yeah.
The less you bring, the more you'll enjoy your trip. So packing light is obviously the big one. Me choosing an Airbnb, don't go for price, go for location. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Trying to learn at least 10 words in whatever language you go visit, because the amount you can make someone smile just by saying thank you in their own language goes a really long way.
Yeah, that's good.
Just, you know, not being afraid to meet someone strange from a new place.
Do you travel by yourself mostly?
A lot, yeah. I prefer to travel alone. I'd say, the less, kind of that first thing, the amount of people, the less people you travel with, the more you enjoy it.
Sure.
You know, we've all been on those, like, 10-person trips where no one can decide how to eat.
Right.
Whatever.
I've learned on those to just decide for myself and then invite whoever wants to join.
Right.
And like, sometimes I eat by myself, sometimes it's all 10 of us, whatever. And kind of like a, you know, I definitely had some early trips the opposite way where like we're four of us are arguing for 2 hours about whatever.
I know, it's the worst.
Yeah.
So, I got a standing rule when traveling with groups. No complaining.
Yeah.
And if anybody gets caught complaining, instant 20 push-ups.
Nice.
I don't care if we're at the club, we're at the restaurant, we could be...
Oh, that's great.
Ziplining. I don't care what we're doing. 20 push-ups.
That. Yeah.
So that cuts out a lot of the...
Yeah, that's cool.
Bad vibes.
That's really good.
I'll throw that one in there.
Do you use the ITA Travel Matrix?
Is that Google Flights runs on that?
Yeah, it runs on that. Yeah.
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 That thing's great. That thing's freaking great.
So there's a hack that I haven't figured it out yet, but somebody told me about it, like using that. So he told me he flies L.A. to New York to L.A. business for $500.
What?
And so what he does is he books New York to Cabo.
Okay.
That has a layover in L.A. and just gets off L.A. and doesn't take the second leg.
Right.
And like that's just a cheap route. And whatever, and he said, in theory, you can do that all over the world. You just have to find the whatever the cheap route is.
What do they call those hidden leg journeys?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to do those on one-way flights.
Yes,
because if you
has to be one way.
Because if you do them round trip, then the second leg will get canceled.
That's right.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I haven't tried that yet. That's interesting.
I haven't either.
There's
it takes some work to like figure it out.
There's a site that I think does that. Skip lagged.
Oh, really?
So check out.
Yeah.
You might have to check me on that, but skip lag, I think.
I'm going to look that up.
How's that? Cool.
Nice. That's cool. Okay, lightning round.
All right, let's
do it. What's your favorite city to travel to?
Rio de Janeiro. Nice. Man, all the beaches, all the fun, cheap.
Yeah, I love it.
Music,
there.
Can't beat it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Rio. DJ. I'm gonna shout out my friend DJ Wilbuck up in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's he play?
He's got like this vinyl disco rap thing going on.
Yeah.
It's all kind of weird, but it's cool.
So you sound like a reader like I am. What what's the last great book you read?
Last great book I read. Let's see. How to Change Your Mind, Michael Pollan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's kind of experimenting with psychedelics and his journey from a zero to experienced user was really interesting to see.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What movie have you seen the most in your life?
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, man, that's great.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just watched that with my son the other day. It was great.
Isn't that great?
So fun. Tell me one decision that changed your life forever.
I was living in Oklahoma at the age of 13 and living with my mom, had everything I could ask for, and I was very happy. And I just got the impression that I wanted to go live with my dad and learn what it was like to be a man. So I decided to move to Florida, and it was really difficult, and we didn't get along for a while, but that set the stage for me not being afraid to try new things in new environments. And going to a new school, meeting all new people. Orlando, Florida. So Celebration's like a little town near Disney World.
Sure.
But that was the last bit of fear that I let go of, traveling to somewhere new or meeting new people or fitting in a new place.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big change point for me.
Complete the sentence.
Okay.
I don't have talent. I have blank.
I have I have indifference towards failure or success. I'm just going to try it either way. That's, yeah. Whether I think I'm good enough to try something or not, I'm going to try it anyway. And then, hey, maybe I'll make the grade. That's just,
it's great.
Just not afraid to try anything.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So if I worked for you, if I was one of the many folks you outsource things to,
okay,
what's something I would hear you say over and over?
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. I've probably said that a few times this week. But one note on the outsourcing stuff is I always make sure that I know enough about what I'm outsourcing to kind of be dangerous, to kind of check the person that's working on it. And that's that advice. When I haven't done that, that's come back to bite me. So you have to have a small understanding of what you're dealing with in order to hire someone to do it.
Yeah, that's Impera stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So who would you be most excited to learn appreciates your work?
Whoa. Seth Godin. If Seth Godin was like, hey, good looking sunglasses you got there, I'd be pretty stoked.
That's cool.
I'd be pretty stoked, yeah.
Nice. Let's promote Woody's. How does everyone find Woody's?
Great. Okay. You can get Woody's on woody's.com or search it on Amazon. It's all over the place.
Nice.
Or follow us on Instagram or just come down to Venice Beach and hang out with us. Got a bunch of shades here at the house.
Nice. Yeah. Cool, man. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome.
So much fun talking to you.
Had a great time.
Appreciate it.
Yo, that was Corey Stout, Rebel Radio. Make sure you check out Woody's sunglasses. And then leave us a review on iTunes, a comment on Twitter or Facebook. Make sure you check out our YouTube page for videos from a lot of our interviews. All of that is at Rebel Radio Net. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.